Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Pure Heart, Pure Lariat, the Joshi exclusive spinoff podcast to the Eastern Lariat. And I'm your host, Mr. VTG Victory Through Guts, Dylan Fox. And today's a really cool and special episode. I've been looking forward to this for a while now, and everybody finally came together for it. And it's something I've been planning out. It's taken intricate planning and craziness from all three of us involved in the show. But I'm happy to bring it to you today, and it's a special half-year awards edition of the Pure Heart, Pure Lariat podcast. And joining me, I'm not doing this alone, although I do like hearing myself talk. It would have been nice to talk to myself for all this time. But instead, I thought all the listeners would like to hear some other opinions and picks. And if possible, if one of you are smarter than me, I may steal your picks later on. I'm warning you now. But first off, a first-time guest of the show, and I'm so happy to have him here, Justin from the Joshi podcast. How are you doing, my man? It's great to have you on.
Hey, yeah, thank you for having me. I am doing good. It's very hot here in Southeast USA. I guess you're here, too.
Yeah, that's right. We're not that far off. Yeah, the heat index was over 100 in Memphis today, so.
Yep, same here.
Yeah, like I said, but it's good that you're not in southeastern America in, like, you know, Chile or somewhere.
Yeah, I started saying that. I was like, am I talking about South America? I think I said that wrong. But yeah, the southern U.S. flair country, I guess.
Oh, okay. Like I said, I'm all about flair country right now. And I would also like to say shout-outs to all our listeners in Chile, by the way. I'm a fan of South American wrestling myself. It's just the internet quality may not be as good as you being here where you're at. So I'm thankful for that, Justin. It's great to have you on. Can't wait to hear your prognostications. I'm a fan of your show as well. So I only have people I respect on this show. If I don't like you, you might not be on the show, unfortunately.
But I'm
easily convinced. I will say that. especially when the time will come where I accept anybody. But the third member of this triumvirate of great Joshi prognostications, he's returning. He's been on before, and I love the episode you were on before, but he is the Private Eyeball himself, Derek Tillotson of the Private Eyeball Show. It's great to have you on, man.
Hey, good to be back. I'm just I'm on the other coast than you guys are, and it's very pleasant today weather-wise. It's quite enjoyable.
Oh, that's awesome. Like I said, well, this is like, you know, God or whatever deity, they're paying you back for losing Kevin Durant, I think, with nice weather.
I'm a Timberwolves fan, so, you know, I like to watch the Warriors crash and burn.
How'd that happen?
I grew up in Minnesota.
Oh, God. Oh, well, that explains it.
Yeah. No, it's a whole mess in itself.
You have the accent a little bit, I will say that. I could kind of tell that you were from up north originally.
When I meet other people from the Midwest, one of the first things I get are you from Minnesota? I can't pick out the accent to save my life, but if you can see it, if you can hear it, more power to you.
Okay, listen, right there, you did.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I noticed that too. Nobody can tell where I'm, unfortunately. I don't have a really distinct accent. Everyone's surprised when they hear I'm from the South. They expect me to sound a lot different than I do. But that's okay, though. This isn't about accents, other than the accent of love and the love of wrestling that we have here today. And I've got all kinds of categories here. I pretty much made them up myself. Not that I invented all of them, of course, that would be ridiculous to say, but it's somewhat a mix of, you know, pretty much any other awards list that you could look up online or find, you know, Tokyo Sports, Observer, whatever website you want to find. Most of those are here, but we have a Joshi twist to it today, so it's nothing too complicated or crazy, although you never know what I could break out on any given moment. I kept it pretty tame for you guys. I didn't let my sense of humor get too involved in this. Unlike you, Private Eyeball, who's doing your crazy block, your P1 climax on Twitter that I've noted. I've voted on many of your matchups, by the way. Correct votes.
Yeah, that's a good time. I like to be stupid on Twitter sometimes. Not most of the time, but sometimes. It's a nice way to pass the time sometimes.
I only had one show up for me. It was who had read more novels, and I forget the two, the matchup, and I couldn't decide, so I didn't vote. I couldn't decide.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Hey, listen, that's a complicated topic. Who could read more novels? I mean, like, you're really putting the Joshi fandom to the test there. with your categories you have there. Go on.
There's still some good stuff coming up because I'm pretty early into it still. There's some really interesting combinations coming, so keep an eye on my Twitter feed for that.
Okay, I can't wait for that. Next year, don't worry, we're going to do a whole show with the P1 Climax categories next time, hopefully. But for now, we have normal categories, and we'll get to those right now with my first one that I came up with. I tried to rank them, not maybe just in order of importance, maybe. Obviously, the MVP or whatever will be the last award. I'll spoil it for you now. That would be stupid if we gave the best one out right away. So I won't do that. Instead, I think it's the opening slot is the perfect spot for the most underrated Joshi Wrestler Award. And these awards, by the way, can encompass any of the companies. It's not like you have to go All Stardom or All Ice Ribbon or anything like that. You can go do it. Whatever company you want, it doesn't matter. The only rule is that it has to be a Joshi performer. So, Justin, since you are the first-time guest, you kick us off, man. Who did you have for this most underrated award?
Well, thank you. When I came up with this, it might be a little outdated now, given the result of the Tokyo Princess Cup finals. I had picked Mizuki just because she's always consistently good, whether it's singles or tag team that we'll get into later. She's just always really, really good. And I feel like she should be featured more. And then she wins the Tokyo Princess Cup, so I guess I'm a little outdated already.
You know, Mizuki winning the cup, we have our last episode was on the Tokyo Princess Cup, me and Matt Stiel, which everybody should hear by the time this drops, obviously. But I really loved her run in the tournament, and especially the final match with Yuna Manase. I thought she did a great job. I can feel you on that one because even then I said something to the effect of she always felt like the number two in her team.
Yeah.
And she's just now getting her spot, you know. So I think that's not outdated at all. I think that's actually a really good pick.
Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, if people haven't seen that match, they should watch it. That match is awesome. You never think of Yuna Manase wrestling the way she does in that match. She's just a total bully. That's awesome.
Yeah. She really – had a great tournament in general, Manase. Yeah. Somebody I was considering for this, actually. I think it's just the hat she wears, like the police hat doesn't. Hat club will become a thing, by God. I will keep this up forever until it comes. But Derek, who did you pick for most underrated?
Well, my pick is currently still not outdated because I went with one of my least favorite gear, but really, really good pro wrestler, Natsuko Tora.
Mm.
She's been having she's had a really, really, really good year in ring. She just hasn't really had a lot of opportunity to shine, especially in singles matches. The match she had for the Women of Honor title with Mayu Iwatani is a personal favorite from this year. If I had to make my list of my top 10 matches, that's probably in there right now. I loved that one a lot. I thought that was the best match of her career to this point. And she just absolutely kills it in every single tag match she's in. I really am looking forward to her in the 5-star Grand Prix because I think this could be a breakout tournament for her.
Yeah, and her feud with Jungle Kiona has been so strong. I think that's really gotten people to take notice after last year. Obviously, I love Jungle Assault Nation, but they never really got any big wins or anything like that. At her turn after the draft into her new character, as you said, the gear is still not that good. But besides that, I think she's really elevated herself. So I kind of agree with you. I think she's somebody that really gets she's really popular among the Twitter fandom on the English speaking side of Joshi. And I hope that hopefully that can turn into some more success in the future. My pick, really all three of mine, I may have looked at this a little bit differently. Just because people I personally felt don't get enough love in general. And I was thinking of people like Reika Saiki, Mika Iwata. Those were the kind of people that were buzzing around my head. But I ended up going with Hanako Nakamori from Pure J. Every time I see her, she's turned into a phenomenal performer. After for years when I watched her in, you know, JWP, her white meat babyface performances, she was always a pretty good wrestler, but they never captured me. But ever since she adopted this new look after he got her head shaved from Dash to Chicago, I thought she did a great job evolving into what she is now. And her match on the Kaman Bolshoi retirement show with Leon was a great match. It's something that I didn't see anybody really talking about, unfortunately. So I went with Nakamura. I might pick. I think she's someone that doesn't get enough love.
I think you got a really good point on that one. I think that's also purely, at least from a Western point of view, we don't get to see a lot of Pure J. And since she's doing almost all of her work in Pure J, it's basically a blind spot, similar to Diana, and we don't get to see a lot of Cerise matches. So it's just kind of there. I like Nakamura a lot, though, as well, so I can't really argue with that pick.
Okay. I'm glad. Thank you. I thought I was going to say something crazy for a second, but I really do think that. If you can watch any of Nakamura, you can. You're completely correct about it being a blind spot to a lot of Joshi fans. But if you can watch any out there, to the listeners out there, check her out. She's really good. Next up is the Rookie of the Year. And since Justin started last time, I'll pass it along to you, Derek. Who do you have here? This controversial award, depending on when you decide to start the rookie balloting. But there are no rules. I didn't say any kind of thing. But if you go with somebody like from 2015, I may have to throw the red flag. But other than that, you're all good. So who you got for Rookie of the Year, Derek?
Yeah, I didn't know how you, if you were even going to define it. So I know you in the past on Twitter, Dylan, have defined rookie basically as debuted sometime during this year. So I decided to roll with that one. So with that definition, I went with Himawari Unagi from Tokyo Joshi Pro.
Oh, great pick.
Yeah, but part of that's because she's had one of the largest bodies of work. She debuted right at the beginning of the year. And then also she's just improved leaps and bounds. She's not always a style of wrestling that I enjoy. She's very much falling into the comedy category. And if you listen to my show, you know that I'm probably not huge into most comedy matches, I would say. But she has, again, been improving like crazy. And I think there's a huge upside for her, especially in a company like Tokyo Joshi Pro.
How come you can get away with saying that, but if I say something like that, people come at me like a gun, practically? I've built my entire
brand on hating fun, so that's kind of how people know me at this point.
Smart. Like I said, that's not – listen, I would not have penalized you if you went with someone before this year either, by the way, because I didn't put any definition on it or anything like that. So if you did, I would give you a slight follow-up. If there was somebody that, say, debuted in, like, the later half of 2018, who would you pick on that end?
Probably Mikoto Shindo, and that's purely because she won the she had a couple really, really good matches, and she won the Sendai Girls Junior Championship recently.
Yeah, that's a great pick. She was somebody I thought of immediately for this award, so great pick on that one, Derek. Justin, what about you?
Well, I think Unagi is an awesome pick, actually. I didn't even consider her, but out of all the new Tokyo Joshi girls, she's one of the better ones. I like her a lot. For me, I sort of broke the rules two ways for this one. So I didn't know if we were talking calendar year or 1 year back, and I just missed out on that anyway. But if we are being lenient, I went with Mei Tsuruga.
She's awesome, though. So, yeah, listen, when it comes to Mei Tsuruga, there are no rules, Justin, in the show. So you can be, I allow it.
Yeah, I think she's over by a month now on her 1 year from a debut. So she's technically not even eligible. But God, I love her. She's so good, especially for her experience. I love the tag work she does with Meiko Satomura. I obviously love all the Gato move stuff she does. She's just really, really good.
Oh, yeah. Derek, what do you think of Tsuruga?
I think Mei Tsuruga is great. Again, she's not necessarily a style that clicks with me all of the time. Especially with a lot of the Gato move stuff. I like Gato move, but it's not a personal favorite. But especially when I see Mei in, she's done a couple marvelous spots, if I remember correctly, but especially in the Seedling high-speed matches, she tends to really shine, and I like her in those settings.
Yeah, there was a recent three-way she had. I can't think of the other two right now that was really good. It was really recent.
I think it was Mei Hoshizuki and Maria.
That sounds right. Yep. Yeah, that was a really good match.
Wow.
Yeah. Listen, Tsuruga and Hoshizuki were Tsuruga, I personally decided didn't fit in, but I'm not going to penalize you for it.
Just, thank you.
That's completely valid in my opinion. But I thought of Hoshizuki too. She was somebody that immediately popped for me. But since you went a little bit older, and Derek, since you went a little bit older is not the right word, but earlier, and you went a little bit later with the 2019 rules, Derek, I'm going to switch some things around, and I'm going to try and go perfectly in between with my pick. As someone that's kind of doesn't fit the rules of either one, but I can sum this pick up with three words. Treen. Bike Club is in the house with Suzu Suzuki. I had the picker. I couldn't go against Ice Ribbon on this one, but Suzuki's awesome. Like, I love what she's doing right now with Risa Sera. She's such a talented worker. And somebody that I really enjoy every single time I see her, no matter what she's doing in Ice Ribbon. And when she goes out and does more in other companies, I think she's going to be someone that you think, man, like, this girl has all the talent in the world. A huge Susan fan.
Yeah, actually, if you didn't allow me to pick Mei Tsuruga, that's who I was going to pick. I'm a big fan of Suzu. She's great.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Since, if there comes a tiebreaker for this award, Suzu wins.
I'd like to just give a quick mention, because I don't think any of us have seen her yet, but just going off her personality, I think Madeline is going to be fantastic, because her personality is just gigantic, and I think she's going to be really good.
Yeah, I can't comment too much on that because I don't pay too much attention to wrestlers before they debut, which I'm not going to knock. Well, before I get to see a debut, that is. But
yeah,
but I can't. So I can't really jump in too much there. But with the people who I know that have been kind of hyping her up, I almost get a little nervous that if she doesn't go out there and have like 20-minute specials for like her, the first time I get to see her, it's going to be a bit of a letdown, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know if she'll be that great of a worker to start with, but just her personality is so perfect for wrestling.
Listen, all I know is she's doing MMA, so she intimidates me, so I give her all the props in the world.
I've seen all her MMA matches. They're all on YouTube, so that's something.
How good of a real fighter is she?
I think I watched four matches, and she lost three of them. But, I mean, she's not bad. But you can tell she's not the greatest either. I don't know.
Maybe her future will be in wrestling more than MMA. So that could be good for everyone.
Yeah.
But moving on to the next award, Suzu got a lot of love. And a lot of people did. I'm a huge fan of Shindo, Hoshizuki, Unagi. I like them all. So great picks all around. Going to most improved this year, and this is another kind of vague-ish award where, you know, your definition of improved could mean many different things. But Justin, who did you have on the mind for the improved category?
You see, I'm so bad at these. This is one where I couldn't make my mind up again because I'm of two minds. There's the first thought is that one of the people is Arisa Hoshiki, because when she first came back, she only wrestled tag matches for like 6 months, wasn't doing much singles work at all. And she slowly just got a lot better, like a lot better. And I still think, even if you count her original run back in 20, whatever, I still think she's had like, like 35 singles matches total. It's something really crazy low. And she's really, really good compared to how she was when she first came back. And the other I picked, I apologize again, is Julia. Just because if you look at Julia from when she started to the matches she's been having this summer with Rina Yamashita and I'm blanking, Maya Yukihi.
Maya
Yeah, that were just really good matches. She's getting a lot better too. So I'm just bad at making decisions, I think. Let me just say Julia, since she's more of a fresh prospect, I guess.
Listen, when it comes to Arisa Hoshiki and Julia, there are no rules on this show. So as long as you go with all my favorites, you know what you want, okay?
I'm just going to keep picking people you like.
Exactly. Like I said, so good job on that one. Derek, what do you think of those picks, and who did you pick for most improved here?
I like both those picks. They definitely both crossed my mind, especially Hoshiki, because Hoshiki's early stuff, if you go back and watch that, and obviously that's kind of a whole different era, she's a little rough. She's not the roughest of all those early Stardom wrestlers. I would say that's Mayu Iwatani. She was really bad in her early days, but Hoshiki's very good. Julia, obviously, is going to be a star. But my pick, Justin mentioned fresh faces, and there's no fresher pick than my pick. That would be the 13-year veteran Makoto.
Mm-hmm. She was on my list too. You both mentioned people that were on my list.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What about Makoto, Derek?
For whatever reason, she has just been putting the pieces together this year, especially in tag matches, which is the bulk of what she's doing. But I can't really explain it. She just seems to be understanding how to work a really good tag match. And part of that, I think, is because she's been working alongside really good wrestlers like Asuka and Yoshiko and Seedling. But everything she's been doing, especially in that company, but then you look at Ice Ribbon, she had that tag team with Miyako Matsumoto and a few other things here and there. I think she had some Gato Move stuff earlier this year. But everything she's doing has been really clicking really well for her, and she's been really fun to watch this year.
Yeah, I like that pick.
That was a really good pick. Like I said, like I said, she was immediately on my list because for a long time I really didn't like her, like in Reyna and things like that. I always thought of her as prototype idol type of wrestler, but for some reason she suddenly now, like you just said, putting the pieces together. So I really appreciate that pick there. I had her and Julia both on my list, and I think both of those are completely valid picks, but my number one was somebody that may be my own doing more so than her actually being that improved. But every time I see her, she like pops off the screen for me. And somebody that like wasn't even on my radar by the end of last year, or it was like a very slight blip on my radar. And now this year is one of my favorite people to watch. And that is Miyuki Takase. Every time I see her in every company she works that we can see, I just love her to death and think she's got all the potential in the world to be a top Joshi star. And like I said, she's someone that I really didn't see that much of last year. But I'm just like really impressed with her this year. I think she's somebody that's taken a really big step forward. And I can't wait to see what she does in the future. I like the differentiation of promotion we have, we've had. We have pretty much like everything thus far there. So good picks all around. I like both of your picks as well. Now we're going to move up into some ones that require deeper thinking, at least for me. Some things that, because this is another one where you have to go by what you value. And that is the best rivalry, you know, or best feud, if you would want to call it that. There have been so many grudges in Joshi this year. But Derek, where did you look for what was the rivalry that got your blood pumping the most?
There were a few I was bouncing around with, but the one that I think I had to have to go with purely for overall match quality, as well as how kind of unique it was, because these two never actually had a singles match against each other, and it doesn't look like they're going to have one anytime soon, is Arisa Nakajima versus Miyuki Takase, primarily from Seedling. Yeah. I think entirely from Seedling.
Yeah. See, hey, supporting my pick right there that I put over Takase. You brought Arisa Nakajima into this. I love it.
Yeah, that's everything they did was great. It was basically for the titles the whole way through. Each of them had two different tag partners each time.
Yeah.
Nakajima did seem to make a bit of a strategic error back when Sasamura got injured, because she should have taken Takase as her partner. But that only worked a little while there. But otherwise, this feud was basically Takase trying to do whatever she could to get one over on Nakajima's team and eventually get the win. And they did, which was very fulfilling until they lost the titles.
Yeah. What did you think, Justin? What was your best rivalry there? Because that, like, Derek's pick is really good. I've loved their tag team matches this year at Seedling.
Seedling is one of the I almost see nothing from I have very little from Seedling, so I didn't see that. Which
check it out, it's really good.
Yeah, I have to. For me, I was tempted to go with comedy bullshit like Derek hates and go with Tsukasa versus Tintin. But in the end, I went with someone I was just talking about, Arisa Hoshiki versus Tom Nakano. Just because it was such a long, drawn-out feud before they even wrestled. I think it went 7 months, maybe six. I think it was seven. Of the underlying tension. And I guess it isn't always underlying in Tam's case. And then it culminated in a great match. I really loved that match. I think a lot of people did. So great feud, interesting characters, good payoff. Can't ask for more.
Yeah, and if you listen to our previous show, me and Derek did, he told me he hated that match and everyone.
Tam versus Arisa.
Yeah, exactly. What? One of the worst favorites, right, Derek?
Oh, yeah, I won't be talking about that match later today at all.
Yeah, there are no categories that would require any specific matches later on, but we'll see about that, how it goes. But actually, that was my pick too, Justin. I picked Arisa and Nakano as well. I just thought the match was, like I said, me and Derek talked about it together, and obviously I loved it. I thought that the rivalry was so well done, and Nakano's performance in them really elevated herself to me as more of a, I don't want to say 3D character, but I thought it was so much different than her kind of rivalry we saw where she left Oedo Tai last year. I thought this was a totally different kind of character and more layered to me. So I appreciated her, and Hoshiki is like my favorite wrestler right now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I considered Tsukasa and Tintin as well. But actually, I my first appearance on Derek's show, we reviewed that show, and I didn't love that as much as a lot of people that called it like the greatest match of all time and all of that. But I do appreciate the build up to it. I thought it got a lot of attention. And it was well done, even though I didn't – like, the match wasn't necessarily my favorite either. Mm-hmm. Also thought about Jungle and Tora. You mentioned Natsuko Tora earlier, and I thought their rivalry was so heated. Their matches weren't necessarily, like, you know, great five-star matches or whatever. But they had an intensity to them that I think hasn't been replicated that much in Joshi this year. So, but to me, Hoshiki and Nakano were my favorite, so – so good pick, Justin. This is our first agreement on the show between. So good stuff there. And Derek, I loved your pick as well. They had a match too at the Arisa Nakajima Produce Show on April 28th. That there's a tag team match they had there. I think that's when they won the titles.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jumbo Arita and Takase versus Nakajima and Sai. So check that out if anybody doesn't see that much Seedling. It's really good stuff. Now, this may be one of your least favorite categories, Derek, because I feel like such a big part of Joshi is physical charisma and charisma in general. So I added on a most charismatic award right now. And that's what I'm going to go to here. Justin, who is the most charismatic Joshi wrestler this year? Somebody that grabbed your attention.
Well, on my own show, for our year-end awards, we have a most charismatic category, and we just renamed it the Maki Ito Award. I don't think there's any reason for me to change so far. It's Maki Ito. It's got
to
be.
That would be kind of silly to name an award after her and then not give it to her. You may get heat for that.
I don't see. Maki Ito draws people in just such a ridiculously strong manner. And I don't think it's just Joshi fans. If you look, I mean, I guess it could be, but if you look at the DDT special elections where she was in first place for a really long time until right at the end, she even got to come over to the American trip. that they did for WrestleMania, and it's not based on her ring work. I'll tell you that. It's based on her personality. I have to go Maki Ito.
Even now, her stuff with Chris Brooks is like super over to a lot of people.
Yeah.
See, so I can see where it's coming from, and I definitely agree with you. It's not about the ring work, but she like you said, she has a certain appeal to her that I can't deny. So that was a great pick there. You named the award after her, so I gotta respect it. Derek, who do you have as the most charismatic?
I went with a little wrestler named Maki Ito. I got nothing else to add to this. I think Justin pretty much hit the nail on the head there.
I see. Brilliant picks on there. I went with someone different, though. I'm going to break free from the crowd here. She's definitely a great pick, though, now that you bring it up. But there was someone, to me, that was unquestionably number one. This was my easiest award to pick. Someone that no matter where she wrestles, I can't keep my eyes off of her. Sometimes even when I don't see her wrestle and just see people talk about her, it's like even her name is charismatic to me. But that is someone who is named Kyosei Sakura Hirota, one of my favorite wrestlers in the world. I cannot deny her. To me, everything she does is just amazing. And in a style, like I said, to be honest with you, I'm not really a fan of comedy wrestling that much, even in Joshi, but everything she does hits with me somehow. And like she overcomes all of that, and I love her anyway. So to me, she had to be my number one.
Hirota is great. You gotta love her.
I think so too. Derek, what do you think about Hirota?
Yeah, I think she's a wrestler. I don't mind Hirota. It's I just get a little worn out because I don't find much. If I didn't see her as often as I did, I think I would enjoy her more. But I see her enough where she just doesn't do anything for me personally. It's not a style that really clicks with me. I think if I knew Japanese, maybe I'd find some appreciation in it. But it's just her overall style. I see enough where it hasn't really clicked with me in quite a while.
That is fair. She does banter a lot in Japanese in her matches. I will give you that. You're teetering on the edge of the Shadow Realm again, Derek, on the show.
That's what I do. I'm the king of the Shadow Realm, baby.
Okay. Like I said, I'm going to hang on a little bit after that performance. And we're going to go to the Best Moment Award, because Joshi is built on moments in a lot of ways, and wrestling in general is. So Derek, Sakura Hirota hater. What was your favorite moment of the year thus far?
This was another one where I was seriously kind of balancing a few different ones, but I think the one that stuck out most to me is basically the death of Hyper Misao from Tokyo Joshi Pro, when Misao made her return from whatever the excuse was, basically just took a leave of absence, and then Rika Tatsumi came back at the same time from injury. They had a really good match with each other. It was very different than any other Hyper Misao match we had seen to that point, because she was wrestling very seriously. We're wrestling with a bit of an edge, got some weapons involved there, brawling outside the ring, stuff like that. Ends up losing the match. And then after the next match, Tatsumi comes out to make I think it was Miyu Watanabe was getting beaten down. Tatsumi comes out to make the save. Misao comes out and just turns on her. Takes off her mask, cuts it in half, and walks out. It was great. It basically was a whole thing where in about the span of 30 minutes or so, I went from disliking Hyper Misao to really being intrigued by her to being pretty much a fan of hers. I think that moment basically summed up a lot of feelings I have toward comedy wrestling as a whole.
Wow. Like I said, that felt like a personal moment of yours too. There, I will say this: Misao, the first person to make me tolerate Saki Akai, you know, because I'm kind of into their team a little bit. I think it's helped both of them. So I see where you're coming from there, Derek. But Justin, what did you think of that moment where Misao, like you said, Hyper Misao died?
It was awesome. I wasn't a great fan of Misao either, except for the one Jun Kasai match, which was incredible. But that moment was awesome. And as soon as he said that, I immediately got that picture that's, to me at least, is iconic with the scissors stuck into the mat of the ring standing up after she had cut up her mask. That's a great moment. I wish I had thought of that.
well, what did you think of instead of that one?
I thought of one that's sort of... I don't think the moment itself was so great, although it was really cool. But I think when we look back on it, it's a really, really great moment. And that's the dissolution of John and the follow-up number one pick of Tokyo Cyber Squad of Jungle Kiona by Hanakamura. And it could just be because I'm a massive mark for Jungle Kiona. But I was so heartbroken when she lost John. Just reading results, because I don't care about spoilers, really. So I'm reading along with that. And then I see Hanakamura gets a pick, and the first thing she does is take Jungle Kiona. It was just amazing. And then she follows it up later with Konami. And I think all three of them, especially Konami, to be honest, are having a really good year ever since that with Tokyo Cyber Squad. So even though I don't think it was like a moment per se, it was sort of like a 20-minute series of events that I think is going to lead to some really great stuff.
It was the birth of a revolution.
Yeah.
It was the birth of many Twitter handles changing that night.
Everyone is different. Everyone is good.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I can feel you on that one. First of all, I'm a huge fan of Jungle Kiona too. I've talked to people in the company, like trying to get her pushed more, but somewhat no avail. My word did not count for much, unfortunately. But still, it feels like now they're finally they're really getting behind her with this Tokyo Cyber Squad stuff. And I agree with you about Konami. She was another of my longtime favorites on there, and I think they really compliment Hana well. Because they can really cover up a lot of her weaknesses, and she's so charismatic, such a distinct personality, that it just elevates them both as well.
It's what they say about great tag teams, except it's you know, three people, where they all have something different that the other person might be lacking. It's a great group.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one. I'm with it. Mine was a little bit more sentimental. I was thinking about some stuff. I really didn't even think of either of those, to be honest. But they were good moments now that I think about them. I was thinking about when, Momo's white belt reign finally ending. That was kind of like, I really appreciated that. Riho leaving got to move. And the promo they put on YouTube has English translation. Shout out to Pumi there. He put up some good translations of that. Very emotional moment. I think that deserves a mention because I thought that was an amazing moment. But for me, something that was near and dear to my heart as someone who's a longtime fan and specifically a longtime fan of JWP, I mentioned it before, but Command Bolshoi's retirement hit me on a ton of levels. And I love that whole show, to be honest with you. If you remember it, she started off as Bolshoi Kid in a completely ridiculous battle royal with all kinds of people. Julia was even in there. But they had all kinds of people in their legends and new people alike. And then it came down at the end. She had a gauntlet match versus three different eras of her career. She had Mayumi Ozaki, obviously from, her earlier in her career in JWP, Hanako Nakamori, and Kaori Yonayama in there. So three different eras, and she did a great job. They carried her off at the end. It was a very emotional retirement to me. And Corken Hall was really... it drew really well. Her show did a Corken Hall show. So I love that show, and I love that retirement as well.
Bolshoi is great.
Yeah, she's awesome. Total legend, well underrated, especially for someone of her size to make it as big as she had. So impressed by her. And as a longtime JWP fan, that meant a lot to me. And that was clearly my best moment. The best promotion of the year now. We went from a moment to an entire promotion. So, like I said, we went from a moment to like 20 minutes of moments, and now we're going to a whole promotion right now. So, Derek, what was your best promotion of the year this year?
Well, I think without a shadow of a doubt, it's Seedling. Everything Seedling's done this year has been top-notch. I don't think there's been a bad show. I can't think there's been any bad matches, and the titles have both been presented very, very well. Nanai Takahashi had an amazing title run on top of the company. She's had great matches all over. There's been the thing about Seedling that really stands out to me compared to literally any other pro wrestling promotion is that they can literally take four people that work for the company, just throw four random people together in a tag match, and it's going to potentially be a match of the month contender. Like, they just, for whatever reason at this promotion, everything just clicks almost all the time. It's been just an absolute thrill to watch that company this year.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Justin, I know you said you really didn't see anything from Seedling this year, but I just thought, and I completely agree with you on a match-by-match basis, I think they're the best company when it comes to that, because like you said, everything I see, I really love from them. You know, there really isn't anything that I dislike from their shows. Justin, like you said, you didn't see much Seedling this year. Got to at least check out some of their shows at some point. But what did you have for the best promotion of 2019 so far?
Yeah, the Seedling thing is sort of intentional for me, to be honest. I'm one of those wimpy people that's still not over the whole Akt Yazakawa thing. So I won't watch Yoshiko. And I sort of dislike Nanae as a result, and because how she books herself. But I respect it. I respect the pick. I'm sorry to go off on that.
You're headed Shadow Realm with this Nene slander.
I apologize.
So we're even. Oh, so it's okay. Everyone gets one, like Spider-Man. Everyone gets one.
I'm going to go with Stardom, just because they had some really good matches that we'll talk about later, I suppose. And we already talked about one with Arrested vs. Tom, which was also my feud of the year so far. Arisa's my most improved. I like their tag champions. I like Momo and Utami. I think they do good work. Momo's incredible. I just like Stardom. I don't see that they've done anything bad this year, to be honest, personally.
Yeah, you know, Stardom, I really think they've hit their stride this year. From a storytelling perspective, it feels like the last year or so of the promotion has really been a bounce back, because there was a long time there where I was really down on them and a lot of the storylines and what they were doing with the titles. And, like, their wrestling in general, to me, even at the end, like, until Io started to have her feud with Momo, like, I was really kind of, I thought she was really stale, to be honest. And, like, I just wasn't into the promotion that much. But it feels like after that happened, like, Momo had that feud and really got elevated, it felt like the entire company took a step up for some reason. And I've really enjoyed them the entire year. Even the draft, which the year prior I really wasn't a fan of on paper. But yeah, actually, I feel like I have to admit I was wrong on that, because what it did was create an environment where everybody cares about this now. You know, like it got people talking. It was almost like an extra event in and of itself. So Stardom was my pick too, to be honest with you. And I tried to look at it as an analytical perspective, because to me, Seedling has, like, pound for pound better matches, but Stardom overall, I think there's more depth to their promotion. And I think they're probably more successful too, which I counted in. I felt like they're a little bit more successful right now than Seedling is, obviously a newer company. But when they go to Corican Hall, the numbers are better. They got to come to America this year, which their show got mixed results pretty much. I just remember that stream going out in the middle of that Utami Momo match, and I was just like, nah. Yeah. So I wanted to just, like, knock the crap out of somebody.
Yeah, I think those of us watching at home were not that happy, and the people in person were happy.
Yeah, the ones there loved it. It wasn't like, you know, now they do it with WWE where they cut matches in half and stop wrestling during commercials. Like, they didn't stop wrestling on this show. The live crowd loved it, but the people at home were pissed, more or less. So, but still, though, I still give them the start, the number one award. I also had Gato Move as an honorable mention for me. Yeah. I think they're another that's really stepped up this year, even without a ring. So I think there's their promotion that's really on the radar way more now, thanks to their YouTube, their use of YouTube, than they were a year ago. So that's kind of how I look at it, not necessarily just matches.
We're exactly the same there then, because that's the second promotion I had it down to was Gato Move. And I didn't go with them because it's not the breakout promotion. And I don't even know if they're the breakout promotion, really. You know, like in terms of business, I don't know if they're doing that much better. But in terms of awareness, they're just so much more in the consciousness of Joshi fandom, at least, than they used to be.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Derek, do you have any thoughts on Gato Move and Stardom this year? What do you think about those companies? I know you might not be a big fan of Gato Move right now. No ring bothers you.
Stardom was my close number two. I almost put them over Seedling, but I think Seedling's just been more consistent overall in terms of quality. But Gato Move, I like what they've been doing a lot of. It's, again, like you kind of pointed it out, it's not necessarily something that's always my thing, but I have liked a lot of what they're liked a lot of the matches that I've seen for what they are. I think they've been doing a lot of really good stuff, and I'm really happy to see them having a better online presence. Personally, I'd be okay if they wanted to set something up where we'd have to pay money to see it, because I'm willing to give money to these promotions. Please, promotions, let me give you money so I can see your stuff and support you financially, please. But yeah, if they want to keep doing what they're doing by giving stuff for free on YouTube and have it be a really good quality video, I'm all for it. I think more people should be watching All Joshi.
Yeah, a very good statement on your part there. Sorry, I had Actress Girl Z on the line. Try to tell them this, try to hook them up there. But we'll see how it goes. It's a lot of these companies right now. Now, since we did the entire promotions, like I said, I really agree with both of them. They were both my top two. I think they're pretty much everybody's top two if you've seen them. But now we go to a singular show of the year. And this one is a very interesting award. Derek, I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, but I would like to hear it from the horse's mouth here. What was your show of the year in Joshi through the first half of 2019?
I would like to hear what you think I'm going to say.
It's clear. Ice Ribbon from March 2019 with Tenten, the Giant Panda.
I mean, that was a very good show. I that's up there, I'll be honest. That's probably my top five at worst, maybe top three, but no, it's Seedling, May 29th. Not a bad match on the show.
That was my real guess.
Yeah, the opening match was a little hit or miss, but it was a clipped match for TV, so whatever, you can't really judge it too much. There was also an exhibition match we didn't get to see, which was disappointing because it was Natsuki Tayo on one of the sides. But other than that, there were like five matches on this card that were all very good. And I think two of the matches in there were legitimate match of the year contenders, at least to this point in the year.
Oh, man. I love that show. Like I said, like you said, really, to me, the last four matches all delivered like really big. And the main event match, like I said, as we know, there are no awards talking about matches. But if there was one, the main event would definitely be talked about in my world.
Yeah.
But I really loved, like you said, the tag titles match between Arita and Takase versus Amazon and Hiroyo Matsumoto was great. The Makoto and Yoshiko versus Shindo and Mizunami match was freaking awesome. We talked about that show, so you can listen back to our first episode and we basically talk about how great all the matches were on there. And I wish we saw that Natsuki Taiyo match. Unfortunately, that was the one like rest in peace to the lost match. That should be like the last battle of Atlanta. They should release that. If Seedling ever gets the streaming service, that be released, in my opinion. I mentioned it before. Those two were like my top two of my top three: the Ice Ribbon Show and the Stay Tuned from Seedling. To me, I mentioned it earlier, but just on a personal level, the Command Bolshoi retirement show meant the most to me. Not necessarily had the best matches. Like, Seedling is a better show if you don't really care about Bolshoi. I'll just go ahead and say that right now. But the aspect of it being her last show and how well done it was, the emotional send-off, Devil Masami was sending a video at one point. Like, they had everybody for this. It was just a freaking awesome show. And, like, really great. The Hanako Nakamori versus Leon match is legitimately a great match as well. That I would really recommend for people as one of the most under-the-radar matches. I love the show. Like, and I think everybody should watch it. But I totally agree with you on Seedling. I thought that was an amazing show as well. Justin, what was your pick for show of the year?
I don't have one.
Oh yeah, that's right. Steal mine, Justin.
I'll take yours. Yours was great. That was Seedling, right?
No. It was the Bolshoi retirement.
The Bolshoi retirement. Okay. Yeah, both of those were the show of the year. I don't know. I'll pick. Do you guys follow Emi Sakura on Instagram?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll take one of those 30 Insta moment long things she posts every day of practice matches. I don't know.
Great pick.
It's just so hard to pick these for me because there were a lot of good shows, but being that I don't watch Seedling and I unfortunately didn't see the Command Bolshoi retirement, I didn't have a blowaway show. So I just don't know. There were a bunch of good shows. But as for show of the year, for me, there hasn't been one yet.
I feel you. Like I said, to me, it was easy for the personal connection to Bolshoi. But like, if you don't see Seedling, what about that Ice Ribbon show with Tintin? I thought that event was underrated.
That was a great show. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. See, I thought that main event was super underrated by people. Like, it got overshadowed by the Panda match, but to me, that was my favorite match on the show. Like, full disclosure. Let's move on to Best Bout Award, the Match of the Year. Amazingly, there was an award about matches on the show. I lied, everyone. I apologize for that. I never want to lie to you on the show, but I couldn't help myself, unfortunately, because you all knew it was coming. So it wasn't. Hopefully you can forgive me for that. But to me, there are a lot of choices for this that you can go to, I think, Justin. So since you didn't have an award for Show of the Year, what did you have for the Match of the Year in Joshi this year?
For me, it's when I got this ballot from you, I wanted to rewatch everything that I thought was a contender. Mm-hmm. And there were I was going through all Sari's matches. And I was like, God, I love Sari. And I watched Arisa versus Tam, and I was like, God, I love Tom Nakano getting kneed in the face a lot. But then then I saw Momo versus Jungle, and it was just mind-blowing. So I watched it again, and it was mind-blowing again. I think that makes three times I've seen it this year from doing that. I think it's better than any of the Io versus Mayu matches, and I think it's better than the Io versus Momo matches. I think it's the best match in Stardom history and definitely the best match this year for my tastes.
Man, that sounds like it's going to be a hard match to beat for the rest of the year, too.
For me, it is, yeah.
Yeah, that was an incredible match. I know you're not the only one that feels that way. I've gotten messages from people that don't even watch Joshi telling me they said it was a 5-star match. One of the greatest of all time and things like that. So I think that's a match that really made an impression on people. Derek, what did you think of that match, and what did you pick? Because I have a feeling I know what you're going to pick here too, and it's not that one. But what did you think of that match?
I liked that match. I did not love that match, and I think I've been bothered by the fact that I didn't love that match since I first saw it, and I think the big reason why I feel the way I do is because A, it was spoiled for me, and B, that actually might be it. I'm still not entirely sure why I feel, like, the exact reasons why I feel the way I do about that. I have not rewatched it. I don't typically rewatch matches until late in the year. That is not one that's currently on my short list for rewatches, but I'll probably add it to it at some point because maybe I see it differently at that time. So, yeah, I still feel somewhat disappointed in myself because for whatever reason, those are two of my favorite wrestlers, but that match never really clicked with me. So, oh well.
if you ever do an episode on it, I can't wait to hear it.
Oh, you can probably go back and find, I think it was probably like my third or fourth podcast, something like that, that I talked about that. And,
that was right where you started.
Yeah, it's. I don't want to go back and listen to it myself because, oh boy, that's rough. Bad enough listening to myself when I'm happy with the way I do podcasts. But my pick for the best match so far this year is Arisa Hoshiki versus Tam Nakano. There's a couple others that are right up there. Nakano versus Momo Watanabe is right there, as well as both of the pretty much anything, any singles match that Nanai Takahashi had, but specifically both of the Iroha matches are up there. But Hoshiki Nakano is basically the conclusion to, or at least it felt like the conclusion to, a slow burn feud that really hadn't had a lot of in-ring kind of action, for lack of a better way to word it off the top of my head. But it was kind of a beautiful match in that both women were trying to throw everything they had out there. The moment in the match where Hoshiki hits her finisher and then collapses was just stunning. Like, I keep thinking about that one when I think about that match in general. But everything about that match just kind of clicked with me. It hit me emotionally. I think it's a match where if I hadn't followed the whole journey between the two, it probably wouldn't have clicked with me the way it had. But I can't really judge it any other way because I had followed that journey, and I think that match was simply stunning in every way.
Yeah, you know, I completely agree with both of you, actually. I think that those were both great matches. And if you really made a list, if we were to list our top 10 matches in Joshi this year, I think a great thing about 2019 is that really, for me, the top five matches I had were all completely different. They were great for different reasons. And both of those were definitely on my short list. Especially to me, Momo and Jungle, I love that match. I thought that was great. I feel like I might be the only person alive that really loved the Konami versus Mayu Iwatani match from like a week prior for the Ring of Honor title in February. And I thought that was an incredible match when I first saw it. And like, two of my favorite wrestlers going at it, hard hitting action. I just thought it was really well worked, even though I didn't really have the drama of the Momo versus Jungle match or the Hoshiki versus Nakano match either. I think it just lacked drama, but that's a really great match that's kind of under the radar. I thought Julia versus Maya Yuki was an amazing match in and of itself. Definitely in my top three. But to me, the match of the year actually came from your show of the year, Derek. And that was Takumi Iroha versus Nanae Takahashi. I just angered Justin with Takahashi praise right now on the show. The Nanae Awards will be in full effect at the end of the year, where she wins every award just like she wins every title. Seedling, stay tuned. Just an absolutely phenomenal match. And I'm riding hard with Iroha. I think she is an amazing choice to win the Beyond the Sea title. And as overpushed as you could say Nanae is, it totally made Iroha an even bigger deal to beat her, I feel like, in that match. Something everybody should see, and an amazing amazing match with storytelling, hard-hitting wrestling. It was completely up my alley. Iroha is one of my favorite wrestlers, and I just think she's off the charts. And Nanae has had I thought her whole title run, in fairness, was awesome. Like, I really liked every one of her title matches, but that took the cake for me. And even though I wanted to give it to an Ice Ribbon match in my heart, I can't deny Takumi Iroha and Nanae Takahashi. So, Justin, I figure you haven't seen that match yet, but I think it's worth watching, even if you hate Nanae.
Yeah, well, I still know she's, you know, an amazing worker. Everyone loves Iroha, so I have no doubt that match is incredible.
Yeah, see, listen, if you don't love Iroha, there are some rules that apply to that, unfortunately, to listeners out there as well. But yeah, still, though, I think all of those are really great matches. And like I said, really, if you listen to just the top three we listed, Iroha, Takahashi, Hoshiki and Nakano, and Momo and Jungle, all three of those matches are really different. And I think if we had, like, you know, more people on here, like 5, 10, 20, 100 people you could go to, all of us would have – there'd be a wide variance of answers in 2019. And I think that's a good thing for Joshi on the whole, more or less.
Yeah, I think when it happened, that Konami-Mayu match was, I think it's just been forgotten, because when it happened, people really did love that match. And Konami also around that time had a great match with Hanakamura. So
I just want to point something out about that Konami-Mayu match. That was probably I liked the match itself, but my favorite part of that whole thing is that they got the referee for Ring of Honor to be there.
Oh,
yeah.
They were in Osaka as well. Like, they weren't anywhere near where the Ring of Honor folks were being, because they had their shows in New Japan at the same time. I think they were in Cork and Hall, so they got them to, like, I think it was Osaka they ended up having that match at.
Yeah, gotta have Todd Sinclair, whatever his name is, on the syndicated program.
Listen, this is the Women of Honor title, okay? This is an official Ring of Honor championship. You're not going to do it without the referee on there.
Yeah, the two best Women of Honor matches have been in Stardom. So.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The actual Women of Honor themselves, some would say, leave something to be desired on there. But yes, I definitely agree with you. The Women of Honor title matches were at their best in Stardom. Mayu is an incredible champion to make a Ring of Honor title look good. So thank you, Iwatani and Konami, for that. And we're going to move on to the next award. Now we're getting into kind of like the singular wrestler awards, more or less. These are the big ones we're getting into now. And to start us off, we're going to save the singles categories for a little bit later. Right now we have the Best Tag Team of the Year award. And there's tons of options to pick for this as well. Derek, who is your best tag team this year?
There were, I think, two tag teams that I was bouncing between, but ultimately I had to go with Yuka Sakazaki and Mizuki from Tokyo Joshi Pro. They had one of the best matches I'd seen this year. It was their title defense against Natsumi Maki and Hikari Noah. I loved that match so much, and I feel like that's one of them that's going to get kind of forgotten by the end of the year, unfortunately. Both of them, just by the as singles wrestlers, have been great, which obviously it's not the same thing as being a tag team, but they have also just worked hard as hell as a tag team. Everything they've done has been wonderful. I love everything about it. They've really been the bright spot in Tokyo Joshi Pro this year. It's a little disappointing to see that they will probably not be tagging too much going forward, but, you know, that's kind of the nature of pro wrestling, I suppose. But for the first half of the year, I don't think there's been a team that's been quite as fun to watch as those two.
Yeah, like that's a great pick there. And like, I was just thinking about that when you're talking about them, how much they would team in the future after Mizuki's win. But for what they did a great job this year. I can totally see where you're coming from on that pick. Justin, what about you?
Derek was basically reading my notes, I think. I put Magical Sugar Rabbits, which I think is their name. And my notes say versus Riho and Shoko 1-4 match of the show on the biggest show of the year for Tokyo Joshi, and versus Pandemic Boo Boo, which is the Natsumi Maki Hikari Noah team he mentioned from I didn't write the date down, but it's like early May. It's magical. They were so great. Yuka tends to be in great tag. Like, why in the world did Miraclons break up? I don't know. And now she's in probably an even better tag team, if that's even still a tag team. But yeah, it's absolutely, for me too, Magical Sugar Rabbits.
They were definitely up there for me. Again, we're not going to all agree yet. We have not done it yet, and we won't this time either. I very, very nearly went with Bike Club for this and just let my personal bias run wild. But I wanted to, again, have a more analytical eye. I owe it to the listeners to not let my bias go too crazy. I was thinking about Jumbo Arita and Miyuki Takase, too. I've loved every match of theirs I've seen, which isn't that many, but they've made a really impression on me and Seedling. But in terms of just volume and quantity, I had to go with Queen's Quest, Momo Watanabe and Utami Hayashishita. I just think that they have had as big of a run as you could have in Stardom as a tag team. I've loved all of their matches that I've seen of theirs. They just edged out the Magical Sugar Rabbits for me. But I think that if you look at their run and journey this year, there's a lot of matches that you can go back and watch. But I apologize for not going with the Magical Sugar Rabbits as you did on there. No, they were up there for me, though. I think I might be the lone wolf on Queen's Quest right now. But still, I had to give Momo something. I've X'd her out of all the awards this far. I feel like her role was so great. I may have just, tried to make up for it with shouting out her tag team there. And now we've only got a couple of awards left, and they're both singles awards. Now this, I've separated the singles award into two kind of categories, which I think are different, but, equally worthy. And for me, most outstanding wrestler and is the best in-ring performer of the year. Never mind anything else, just as a wrestler, who is the best of the year. And Justin, who do you have for that in 2019? All right.
Yeah. So I got this down to three. I did get it down to one. But my three that I had in my head here were the first is probably the lowest and the least obvious. Maybe. It's Maya Yukihi. She's been just on an absolute tear. She had the matches with Tsuka, with Julia, with Tequila Saya. She's just been having great matches. And then she has two great tag teams. I mean, she has Azure Revolution, and I'm blanking on the name of her Oz Academy tag team with Sayoriano. I was so close to picking her. The second was just barely edged out, even though I just called it the best Stardom match of all time. It's my pick here is not Momo. I think from the beginning of the year to now, as far as like when we talk about Jungle Kiona, we always talk about her average match. Like Momo may have higher highs, but you know, Jungle has her average match is just so good. And I think that's sort of what I did here again with Sari. Her matches versus Dash Chisako, versus Aja, that, you know, when we're allowed to see those, drives me crazy that we can't see that bloodbath. The matches, the various tag team mix and match things she did in Sendai, where she would team with Chihiro, she would team with Dash, she would team with Mika Iwata, she would team with Mako. They were always good no matter what. She also had the matches with Chihiro that were great. She had the match with Mako that made everybody go crazy for a month. She has just been so good. I don't think there's a calendar month without an outstanding Sari match on it so far this year. So I'm going to go with Sari. Or Sally. I don't know how to say her name.
Listen, I think a lot of people, you can just call her the sun god. It's fine. But yeah, she just had another match too against Dash Chisako for the world title in Sendai Girls that's going to be airing probably by the time the show is online. So everybody check that out. That may be another match you're ranting about you didn't even know about as we're recording.
I haven't even seen the rematch yet. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. See, so it's great when you pick a person that you have a backlog of, by the time the show. So good job there. Love the pick though. Sorry, I told the story before, but she's the only the pure heart cards. I have one of hers that I won in a contest on Twitter one time. That's the only one I have. Is I'm sorry. That was before she was even like she was barely known at that point. Like the most known she was like. I remember when she had that look on her face at that press conference and she was very bored and everybody went nuts about it.
Yeah.
That was the era that I won that in. So this was before like best wrestler in the world, Sari. Yeah. So love her to death. I think she's an amazing worker and completely agree with all your points. Derek, what do you think of Sari and who's your pick for most outstanding wrestler this year?
You know, I like her a lot. I have I was not as into her like in earlier in the year. I think it's mostly because we never got to see that Aja Kong match that we really should see. But I like her a lot. I think a lot of people kind of agree that she's one of the front runners for this category at this point. So I can't really argue it. She's up there for me as well. I think I had her. If I were to rank it out, she would be in my top five for sure. But I had to go with Nanai Takahashi. She's been absolutely killing it in everything she's done. Her worst singles matches have been really good. And in tag matches, she's always holding her own as well. She's delivering at a high level. This is basically a career year for her, even though she's already 40. So, you know, she's just doing great work all over. I talked about it already. Her title reign was great. I've got more to say about her later, so I'll just spoil it and leave it at that.
Oh, man. Takahashi's reign was just awesome. And she's someone to me that I just thought was... you look at what she did against a variety of opponents. It's not just the big matches versus like Iroha, but even her match with Mizumori I thought was really strong in February. Something against Asuka. That was a match that drove people crazy, you know, in March. So... she's another one where it felt like everyone. I remember she told that goofy, annoying fan to fuck off that time too. So like that alone has to put her up in the rankings at some point. But she was on my list. She was my number two actually, and I think I went with a really swerve here because Takahashi, you totally have every right to pick her as the most outstanding wrestler. All the matches supported. Her style is right up my alley. Longtime veteran, love her a lot, and especially in ring. I had Momo as my number three. I really think she's someone that does well in a tag team or singles run, as I mentioned, the tag team of the year. But her title run was almost legendary, and when that ended versus Hoshiki, people were talking about it as the best title run of all time in Stardom. And I think there's definitely a legitimate case for that. So she was there, Takahashi was there, but again, my number one, this is a stylistic preference on me because I think a lot of these girls are so close that it comes down to what you look for in a wrestler. And to me, there's nobody that I look forward to more when I see their name on a card wrestling than Arisa Hoshiki. And like she to me has been the best wrestler I've enjoyed the most this year. I know that may surprise some people. Justin, you had her in your most improved, but to me, like I said, she's the top class performer. And that match with Nakano, I've never seen Nakano have a match that good, or really even close. And that just impressed me so much that I couldn't go against her. I think Hoshiki is my favorite wrestler right now. And I went with her, more or less. But Takahashi is just an incredible pick. And Sari has done great, too. I wish we could see more of her. That's really the only thing holding her back from my top three is that if she wrestled outside more, much like Iroha, I think you could throw in that group, too. If you saw more of her, I think she'd be on everybody's list, more or less, as well. But that leads me... Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, release the damn Aja Kong match, please.
Listen, we can beg and we can plead, but they won't listen. I'm trying to gather all my sources. The fans have put their faith in me for many things, but I can't make mountains move on this one. But that's something I'll try to talk to. I don't even know who to talk to about that, but I will find them and I will just grill them to no end to try. But we got one more award or less. This is the big one to me, like the big award this year, the wrestler of the year and the MVP. Somebody that is not just the best wrestler, but is the most valuable player to their company, as the award title states. You know, whatever you want to categorize that in, charisma, character, you know, business-wise, if they're on top, somebody that's – if you take them out of the company, you know, who leaves the biggest hole? That's kind of how I graded it. Maybe you have a different standard. Maybe just pick the best wrestler. It's fine. But Derek – I think we know who yours is after you kind of sold us on the last award. But tell us why you think Nanae Takahashi is awesome.
Like you just said, I also viewed this as who would leave the biggest void if they were plucked out of the company at the beginning of the year. And I think Takahashi is easily the most. I don't view it solely as that as the only criteria. Basically, if they have to be obviously performing well in ring, they have to be pushed well, things like that. No Joshi promotion is drawing like insane numbers every single show, and that's mostly because they all run really small venues for most of their shows. So it's hard to judge off of that. And Seedling does do little disappointing numbers in Cork and Hall compared to other promotions. So that does hurt them a little bit. But Takahashi is clearly the top draw of that company. She is clearly the top performer in that company this year. And everything she's been doing has been phenomenal, both in ring, the way she's carried herself, the way she's been booked, which is probably all herself causing that. But everything she's been doing has been top-notch. She's been an absolute joy to watch. She has been the face of this company. She has performed well. The few appearances at other promotions, primarily Marvelous, she's had a couple of matches that were very good, including a match of the year contender in January that went straight to DVD. But everything Takahashi's been doing has been great. Seedling's been great, and that's heavily because of her being on top. Those crowds are absolutely into her. They adore her. There's other picks, and I'm not going to argue a lot of the other obvious picks because I think there's a lot of legitimacy in this one. I seriously considered actually leaving this spot empty, but I felt like that would have been a cheap answer. So Takahashi, having to pick somebody, Takahashi is a comfortable pick for me.
I would be so pissed if you left it empty on the show. But listen, would you argue if I said Natsu Sumire was the wrestler of the year?
I would probably argue that, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to scratch that off, sorry. On there, so I'll pick a better one. Justin, who is your MVP or the wrestler of the year this year? I know you didn't see too much of Takahashi, but so I'm sure you have someone.
Yeah, so I got it down to three again.
I did the same thing, by the way, so that's not even cheap.
I'll go through the tiers. I think only the second one is unexpected, but maybe not. So number three, I went with Sorry Sally again, just because I think she, just by existing, she raises Diana's profile, and she's done a ton of work for Sendai Girls this year, and it's a ton of highly lauded work. So I think she brought a lot of attention to two promotions, which is pretty impressive. My number two is, if I used your example and said, if I took this person out of the company, who would it hurt the most? I think it has to be Sariano. I think Actress Girl shuts down without her, to be honest. They do have some good talent, like, you know, obviously Takase. And they lost Maki. But Sauriano is just insanely important to that company. And that company, without TV or really much advertising at all, does great Korakuen numbers, which is really cool. But in the end, I went with Momo. And it's based on that white title belt run that she had. And using your specific example earlier, where people might have thought Stardom was a little stale. I know that people made a lot of John Cena jokes about Io during her second red belt run. In Momo's title reign, I think rejuvenated the company entirely. So far, I am going with Momo Watanabe.
And you could easily argue it elevated that title to being the biggest in the company.
Yeah, it's like Nakamura with the New Japan one, the IC.
Yeah. Like it became the biggest title pretty much.
Yeah.
At Stardom, so you have to give her credit for that. To me, in my tiers, and I said I love the way you did that, and that was kind of the way I did it. That's how a lot of voting does it. You have to list three. So, but I didn't leave no disclaimers or anything like that. You could do your own thing. You could have went to 20 if you wanted. And I wouldn't argue. No, the show might be a lot longer if you did that. But to me, I thought again, Momo was in my third tier as well. She was definitely on my short list. somebody that meant so much to the company and the title itself. That's what really stood out to me. Again, that point I made, that the title itself really got elevated because of her directly, and it elevated Hoshiki when she won the title, which I think is important in any title reign, is that you use whatever momentum you build up in a title to put the next person over. And they did that flawlessly. And Hoshiki obviously helped that with the match versus Nakano, which everybody loved. But Momo really set it off with her title reign. And she, to me, came across like the biggest star of the WrestleMania weekend show. Her match versus Utami was the one everybody was talking about going in. The technical difficulties hurt it in the eyes of a lot of people. But they did fix it afterwards, and it was a great match and everything. But still, I thought Momo totally deserves to be mentioned in this category. Number two to me was someone neither of you mentioned. And you mentioned her a little bit earlier at Best In-Ring, but to me, Maya Yuki has really done a great job carrying that title for Ice Ribbon. And last year at this time, you know, or really early in the year, the first half of 2018, it felt like they were losing their way a little bit after the Risa Sarah title reign ended. I was talking about this to someone, but really her title reign ended and they went right from Kurumi to Miyako Matsumoto. And it felt like, you know, the company didn't have as much momentum as they did before. But now with Yuki as champion, I think they've done a very solid job. She's kept things level in a what could have been a difficult time again, where they weren't at the top of their game. A lot of people point to the Panda match, but I think Yuki's covered the company and carried it more than any one performer. So she was on my short list as well. Would you agree with all that, Justin?
Absolutely. Pretty much down to the detail. I thought Ice Ribbon got a little boring after Risa Sarah lost that title. I mean, it's never totally boring, but it just lost something. And then as soon as Yukihi had that great match to win the title, it's been it's been just great ever since.
Yeah, that would have been my match of the year if it would happen a day later.
Probably me too. Well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. You never. There are a lot of great matches. You just said it was one of the greatest stardom matches of all time. Don't try and side suck up with Ice Ribbon now, Justin. I see what you're doing.
Hey, I love Ice Ribbon.
As you should. That's why I like you. Like I said, because anyone who likes Ice Ribbon is my friend. But the reason. The reason why I mentioned her is because, unfortunately, I'm going to have to swerve you again because my number one was Nane as well, just like Derek. I'm there. I apologize, Justin. Takahashi, to me, everything, Derek, you said really hit the nail on the head. I think without her, that company is, like, really lost. And there are, like I said, like you said, they're already barely hanging above water as is. But Nane, to me, carried that company so well. And the point I mentioned, same with Momo, you could say the same thing about her title reign with Iroha. And I think that's exactly what a champion should be. You can criticize the way she books herself, but in the end, it made somebody new. And somebody that she didn't have to make. It was an outsider. It wasn't like one of her friends or whatever, like Yoshiko or Arisa Nakajima. It was somebody new that could carry the company going forward as well. And I hope that this all translates to business success at some point. I don't know how that'll work out, but from a booking perspective and from a wrestling perspective, Takahashi to me meant so much in that company. I had to put her number one, even over my favorite, Maya Yuki. Derek, what'd you think about Maya and Momo as Wrestler of the Year choices? You said you wouldn't argue them, and I think those would have to be on the list.
I also want to hear both you guys' thoughts on Saori Anno.
Oh, Anno? I love her. I think your point was very well. I didn't want to interrupt you because I knew you were going to go to someone else, but I thought that was an amazing, like, outside of the box pick that I really love when you broke it all down like that. Like you said, actress girls, her presence, similar to what you mentioned with Sari and Diana, just her wrestling all these different places automatically raises their profile in a lot of ways. Phenomenal talent. I've always been a fan of her since her, like, I saw her very first match. And I thought she was a great talent then. That was when actress girls at Stardom were working together, kind of. But this was like three, four years ago when that happened. But I always thought she was a good talent then. She had this moveset that was very bridge-based early on in her career. And she's really grown into a totally complete performer and a great ace of the company. So,
yeah.
Justin, I give you 10 thumbs up for that pick.
Thank you.
Yeah, Derek, what do you think about Ano as well? Throw her in there.
I like Ano a lot. It's hard to get a feel for her because she works in a promotion that you don't get to see much of. Unless you're living in Japan buying DVDs. So getting a feel for her in Actress Girls is tough, but I like her. I like her a lot in Oz Academy. I think she fits in well with Ozaki's crew. I like what I've seen of her in Actress Girls as well. Every time I've seen her throughout her entire career has been great, and she's been getting progressively better all the time. I do agree that that company would take a bit of a hit if she wasn't there. So that is kind of a good argument for her. Who were the others? It was Maya Yukihi and who was the other person? Momo Watanabe. Yeah, Momo, I think, is a great pick. She was probably number two on my list if I were ranking them. I can't really argue against her at all. I feel like Momo doesn't... The first half of this year, I don't think she felt as special as she did the second half of last year. Mm. But I can't really hold that against her necessarily because her rise was the second half of last year. So it's going to feel special that way. And Maya Yukihi, I have her on my short list as well. The knock I have on her is that I think there was only been that one Korakuen show in Ice Ribbon, right?
The 10-10.
Yeah, and she main evented that show technically, but that show really felt like the actual main event was the Panda match. And I can't necessarily blame Yukihi for that because that match was kind of a complete anomaly, but it feels like that it really shouldn't have been the main event, and that I think that hurts her resume slightly. Not to the point where I can really argue against her being the pick, because like I said, I almost went with nobody. But I do, like, with my logic, I had to kind of knock her very slightly for that.
I really do think that that match got overshadowed by the Panda match. So, like I said, to a lot of people. Not to me, though, because I thought that was, like I said, a very underrated match. But still, overall, though, I can't deny what you said, unfortunately. But there's a surprise award I didn't list on the awards. I'm going to ask you great people and great experts right away. There's one award that I saved up my sleeve that I wanted to know your opinions on, and that is the Best Hair Award in Joshi. Derek, this is something I consider you one of the greatest experts on in life, not just wrestling. But who do you think has the best hairstyle in Joshi wrestling?
It's Takumi Aroha. It's not close. It's her. If I were rating her hair on a scale from 1 to 10, it'd be a 12. she's got the best head of hair in pro wrestling. I may be best head of hair in all-time pro wrestling with her current do. I think it's brilliant. Sometimes she lets it so it's not like pure red. Sometimes it gets a little bit of brown on the sides or on the top or on the edges or whatever, and it always looks great. Even after a long match, her hair looks great. She's got great hair. 12 out of 10. Love the hair.
You stole my pick. I even copy her hair sometimes since I have long hair. Sometimes I style it like she does, just because I'm a huge fan of that hairstyle as well. So I cannot deny that at all. You stole my pick, unfortunately. Justin, do you have any thoughts on best hairdo in Joshi Wrestling?
I am going to go with someone you guys talked about earlier from Pure J, Hanako Nakamori, with that multicolor thing she did.
Yeah, another great pick.
Yeah, when she did that rainbow thing in her hair, that was awesome.
I said, awesome. Great awards there. I think we had to end it on that note. That was something that I know a lot of people were thinking about. They were wondering, will he pull it out? I won't let you down, my friends. But thank you so much, both of you, for being on this show. I really loved all of your picks, honestly. There was nobody that I thought I was like, what the hell is he talking about? Sometimes I've been on award shows, my other show, Striga can say some just crazy stuff that I just have to try and like pretend I didn't hear. But here I thought you guys really had great picks on there. And I'm a good actor because nobody can tell it on the show. But this time I genuinely didn't feel that way. Justin, I was so happy to have you on, man. I'm a huge fan of Joshi Joshi and what you guys are doing there, you and Tom. Just plug your show. What can the listeners of this show look forward to when they tune into Joshi Joshi? And where can they find you online to connect with you and talk about your picks for the Half Year Award?
Thank you. It was great being here. I listened to your show. I like it. So it was really cool. I didn't expect it. But yeah, so if you want me on Twitter, it has nothing to do with wrestling. It's the stupidest name ever. It's Coffee Yay. Coffeeyay. I don't know.
I like to think that that's a tribute to Aihara, who is the unofficial winner for Best Commentator Award on the show.
Yeah.
I'm overruling Derek because he never gave her credit. He was on the last time. Aihara wins all the awards. But yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Joshi is available on everything now, Spotify and iTunes and everything. I have an interview that is so long that I'm going to have to split it into two episodes, which is what's taken me so long to edit because I get real OCD when I edit. So it's taken forever. So there's that to look forward to. And I think Tom wanted to talk about the Stardom tour that Eve just did, or that they just did with Eve for the Wrestle Queendom weekend. So we got those two things coming out.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I can't wait to hear both of those. The interview should be great. I'm not like you. I just let it fly, mistakes and all. Pretty much on here. Like I said, I want the listeners to get the true experience of us recruiting. Like you're on the line with us, kind of. Yappy asked me that too, if I would edit stuff out, and I told her no. Nope. I said it's not going. Pretty much. Even though I did edit some out, but I won't edit. I maybe edit something out if you said something that you're not supposed to. But I don't think you did. You didn't really say anything controversial, Justin.
So I don't think so. I don't think so. I hope not.
you're good, man. You're good. But I can't wait to listen to those shows. Can't wait to listen to what you're doing, Derek. Yeah. You too have a Joshi related podcast. That was kind of the theme of what I looked for when I asked people to be on this award show. I wanted people that had their own show. Try and raise all boats and all that. So where are you at, man?
Oh, you can listen to my show, The Private Eyeball Show, which is not technically a pro wrestling podcast, but all I talk about is pro wrestling, except for one time where I talked about some movies. So I guess that's fine. But it's not technically a pro wrestling podcast, but I pretty much only talk about pro wrestling and primarily Joshi. You can find The Private Eyeball Show on pretty much every podcast hosting service and app, so look that up. Also follow me on Twitter at Private Eyeball, where sometimes I tweet things, sometimes they're sensible, and you can also catch up with whatever I'm calling it this year. I think it's the P1 Tag League, where I'm posting silly scenarios and giving two random Joshi wrestlers in a tag team, and you pick one of the teams to score points, G1 Climax style. So yeah, follow me on Twitter at Private Eyeball, listen to the show. I'm really bad at plugging stuff. Thanks.
Well, how can I argue with that? I thought you did a great job personally, Derek, like I said, in all honesty. But I would advise all the listeners to go onto his account and vote for the team that Tsukushi's on and all of her matches. That's the only thing I care about in the tournament, is trying to rig this tournament in all of my favorites papers. If you want to check me out on Twitter, you are welcome to do that. You can talk to me about all of your favorite Joshi wrestlers and matches of the first half of the year. I am at Dylan Zero Sky, spell it out, you know, D-Y-L-A-N-Z-E-R-O, Sky. And you can talk to me about all sorts of wrestling, too. I have my men's wrestling on the Eastern Lariat podcast. I do that, so you can talk to me about that, too. The G1 Climax itself. Which Derek was inspired by for his run. It's pretty much starting right now, and I'm going to be doing all kinds of research and live shows for that on the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. Just look Eastern Lariat up on any of the podcast suppliers out there, wherever podcasts are heard, iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, iHeartRadio, all of that. We're on all of that, so check that out. Thank you so much for listening to the show, and we hope you enjoyed it. Until next time. Sayonara.